This is Audible.
The Land, Catacombs, A Lit RPG Saga, Chaos Seeds, Book 4, written by Alaron Kong, M.D., the father of American Lit RPG, narrated by Nick Podell. The Dark Court, Subrealm Gamma, not Fractal, 2489.
Things are happening that we don't know about, Strydek spat.
The exile was 8 feet tall, small for one of his kind. What he lacked in size, he more than made up for in intelligence and magical ability, however. Though the other 6 members of the meeting were physically larger, it was Strydex who had gathered them.
The originals know something that they are not sharing.
The originals always hide things from us. Despite each of us having existed for millennia, they only see us as their children,
Brannid said. He had no love lost for Strydex, but he couldn't deny that the weasel-looking exile was able to increase soul traffic.
This is different, Strydex spat. We had been gaining several new souls a day from the non-human slave trade in Eve. My agents worked for years to destabilize that kingdom. Several months ago, almost all sacrifices stopped. Even now, the soul traffic is not at the level it was before. I have spoken to others, and they have had disruptions of their interests in the land as well.
Are we under attack?
Another exile asked. Yasig was a taciturn being, one of the first generations of beings born of the originals. He had been there in the first centuries of the originals, being locked away into this pocket universe.
Has the Light Court found a new way to oppose us?
Arborine, an exile whose powers focused upon psychic manipulation and divination, spoke up.
It is not the Light Court. I have been able to detect that their operations are being disrupted as well. It is also not an attack, at least not a direct one. It is more like the number of random events in the land has been increasing exponentially. It first started several months ago, and it is increasing in frequency. A small number of these events have even worked in favor of the Dark Court, but again, that seems to be just a random consequence.
So how can we guard against this?
Yasig asked. The non-human sacrifices in Eve had recently become the most profitable means of soul traffic for the small cabal. Stridex's rat-like face twisted into a sadistic smile.
I have already taken care of that. I have dispatched a group of higher-level agents to discover who or what is responsible for the disruption of our interests in Eve. The Plague Squad will find the one who has opposed us.
Strydex looked around at the Cabal.
And will make them suffer.
Chapter 1, Day 101, Coralt 20, 15368 EBG. You have been offered a quest, Long Live the King 1. Long ago, the kobolds of the depths were ruled by the Khan caste. In a bloody coup, all of the known Khans were slaughtered. Since that time, kobold society in the depths has devolved into what it is today. Will you help to restore this scion to power? Reward unknown. Yes or no? Before Richter could choose yes or no, a flash caught his eye. He minimized the prompt and saw that the box had started to vibrate. Lines of white light appeared at the edges, and then the side panels began to peel back, somehow now flexible, like a banana peel. Richter did a fist pump in the air and said, "Yeah, baby, give me what you got." The panels completely fell back, making a wooden X on the table. In the center of the box was a pedestal that held a large egg. As he watched, the egg began to vibrate, and the sound of scratching could be heard. A look of utter horror crossed Richter's face, and he shook his hands rapidly back and forth. "No, no, no, baby! Don't give me what you got!" The smallest of cracks appeared in the shell, and as eloquent as ever, Richter said, "Shit! Okay, this is bad. This is bad, right?" Richter asked to no one in particular. More scrabbling could be heard from inside the egg, and the crack widened slightly. "How the hell do I turn this thing back on?" Richter grabbed the wooden panels of the stasis box and tried to push them back together. The egg stirred again on its pedestal, but thankfully stilled after that. He didn't know how much more time he had before a baby dinosaur would be running around his conference room, but he wanted to avoid it if possible. He finally got the strangely flexible wooden sides to stand up into a tower again, but only by holding it with two hands. It completely resisted his attempts to make the four edges stick together. He heard more scrabbling, and his heart started racing. In a flash of insight, he realized he had some rope in his bag. He could tie the sides together. In a brighter flash of insight, he realized that using rope was a fucking moronic idea. He might as well try asking a stripper for her real number. It just wouldn't work. More scratching came from the box in his hands and almost made Richter consider trying the rope idea, dumb or not, but then his hand brushed the disc he had attached to the box. Maybe that was the key to making the box work again. Holding the box together with one hand, he tried to use his fingertips to pry the silver medallion off. It didn't come loose, but a prompt appeared. Do you want to reactivate stasis box, yes or no?
Yes!
Richter cried as he selected the prompt. Know this. A soul stone is required to reactivate the enchantment. Richter heard a very distinct crack.
Shit!
Still keeping one hand on top of the box to keep the sides from falling, he reached into his bag and accessed the inventory screen. He grabbed a weak soul stone. Placing it to the medallion, he tried to remove the silver disc again. The soul you have supplied is insufficient to reactivate the enchantment.
Gah!
Richter dropped the glowing stone and reached back in his bag. He pulled out a basic stone and tried again. The soul you have supplied is insufficient to reactivate the enchantment. The box vibrated in his hand as the egg rocked on its pedestal.
Come on, man!
Richter cried aloud. Why did he have to waste one of his better soul stones? It wasn't fair! Even as Richter complained to himself, he could see his family shaking their heads and calling him cheap.
He wasn't cheap. He was thrifty.
If you went swimming with sand in your hand, it would still be dry when you got out of the water. Yeah, his cousin was an absolute fucking riot. Not wasting any more time, he reached in and pulled out a common soul stone. If this didn't work, he would have to try the higher stone he got from killing the Crystal Guardian, or, Whedon forbid, the special stone he had received from killing the Crypt Mistress. Placing the multifaceted common stone against the medallion, he accepted the prompt yes again, and finally got a good result. The wood panels firmed and no longer seemed to want to slip out of Richter's grasp. Lines of white light appeared at the four edges. They flared brightly, and then the medallion fell away. Once again, Richter could see the 3S symbol that had been beneath the activation disc. He was about to examine the box when another prompt appeared. Know this. You have reactivated the enchantment on the stasis box. The egg within was in the process of hatching, however, and the protective shell has been compromised. Previously, the egg of the Khan would have remained viable for millennia. Now the enchantment will only be able to preserve the life within for 103 days. If you do not reopen the box before then, the life inside will be terminated. Richter read the prompt and then dismissed it. He held the box up to his ear and listened for a solid minute. When he didn't hear anything scratching to get out, he breathed a sigh of relief. Phew, he thought. That had been a close one. It wasn't like he was afraid of a small baby kobold, but he was deathly afraid of the responsibility it would mean. What if he had blinded it by having it born in a room with so much light? What if it had attacked him immediately? Good God! What if it had tried to suckle him? He shivered involuntarily. Richter was just relieved that he had bought himself some time. He would be able to get some advice from Sumiko and hopefully Hisako. In the meantime, he had to keep the box safe. He gingerly placed it in his bag along with the activation medallion. He would have to remember to ask Randy about the 3 S's. His chamberlain was a font of knowledge, and the man just might be able to add some light to this situation. A flashing icon in the corner of his vision reminded him that he had never actually accepted the quest that had appeared when he triggered the stasis box. Not really seeing a downside, he chose yes. After all, what was in this egg just might be the key to him conquering the first level of the catacombs. He wasn't sure exactly how a baby kobold would help, but at least now his options were expanding. Richter looked at the remnant. Futin, what time is it?
More than an hour before midday, my lord.
Good. Then it's time for me to do something I've put off for way too long. I'm completely knackered. I need some sleep. Wake me in 5 hours.
Yes, my lord, came the monotone reply.
Richter packed the items from the secret kobold compartment as well as the bugbear ranger's weapons back into his bag. Then he looked around the conference room once more, and seeing nothing out of place, he took the first advice his mother ever gave him. He went to bed. Chapter 2, Day 102, Kuralt 21, 15,368 EBG.
My lord.
Grandma. Gah! No goat soup,
Richter said sleepily before turning over.
My lord, Futin said louder, brightening his light.
Richter kept his eyes shut for a few more seconds, but his remnant had no snooze button. Besides, as the man said, no rest for the wicked.
I'm up. I'm up, Futin.
I trust that we haven't come under attack while I slept.
No, my lord. There have been no changes.
Well then, it's a perfect time to get some work done. Go back to helping around the village. Be at the quickening at sunset, though.
Yes, my lord.
The gray orb floated away at the speed of a quick walk, and Richter got out of bed. Despite some initial grogginess, he felt great. Just before falling asleep, he had tried out his sustenance belt for the first time. It was supposed to reduce his need to eat and sleep by 50%. After his short rest, he could absolutely believe it. He should not have felt this energized after just a few hours of sleep, but he was ready to rock and roll. Richter decided to keep his new belt on for the time being. He walked out of his room and over to the Great Seal. He was turning to walk down the hall when he saw that Randolphus was in his office.
Randy, do you have the money from Basil's trade trip? I'm going to put things in the treasury.
The Chamberlain stood and walked over to a small lockbox in the back of his office. He took a key from his pocket and unlocked it. Then he took two pouches out and brought them over to Richter.
The larger one contains the profits from the sales of the potions of clarity. The smaller one is the leftover gold that you provided to Basil for expenses. I have a detailed expenditure report if you would like to peruse it.
Richter raised a hand and shook his head.
I'm assuming you checked and made sure that Basil got a good price for what he bought?
And that he's not robbing me blind?
Randolphus gave a faint smile.
He did very well, my lord.
Richter laughed and accepted the pouches.
Good enough, then. Come with me so you can get an accurate assessment of our assets.
The two men walked over to the treasury. When they reached the Great Seal, they immediately turned down a side tunnel and went to the treasury. The door opened for him to the sound of bolts being drawn back, and he was greeted by the sight of the large eight-walled room. The room was almost completely empty, but Richter smiled anyway. It wasn't going to be empty for long. He walked to the back wall and began removing crystals from his bag of holding. He reached into the bag again and again, handing the stolen crystals to the Chamberlain. Randolphus carefully stacked each of the crystals, and Richter marveled at the massive amount of the resource that he had been able to steal from the kobolds. When he had been on the back of the wagon that had held the crystals, he hadn't really understood how much he had been shoving into his bag. The crystals took up an entire wall of shelves and spilled over to a second wall. He kept smiling the entire time. Next, he unloaded the sword of gnome slaying he had found in the depths. He didn't want anyone knowing about the sword, especially his gnomish population. Part of him thought he should just have Crom melt it down, but another side of him just couldn't destroy something that he might need in the future, so it went onto a shelf. Next, Richter took out all of the pouches he had gathered from various fallen enemies. He appended each one into his bag to allow for the auto sort to tell him exactly how much money he had. It seemed like a waste of time, but he couldn't think of a better method. Looking at the numbers that were stacking up, though, he really couldn't complain. Between the Nightblade's chest, searching the pouches of all the enemies he had slain, humans, bugbears, and goblins, the money from the Skeeling's lair, and the thousands of gold he had taken from the Tephanim vault, the final count was 12,572 copper, 3,614 silver, 5,234 cobalt silver,
and 3,719 gold, according to the inventory sheet Hafiz had prepared what seemed like a long time ago now. The remaining jewels he had in his chest were worth roughly 3,500 more gold. He also had a large amount of jewelry he had taken from the Tefonim vault. He was rich! He started handing handfuls of copper to Randolphus, who filled the empty pouches with the coins. Richter removed the coins in bunches of 50, which made it easy to fill each pouch with 500 each. The Chamberlain filled the pouches with no comment, but once Richter handed over the cobalt silver, he paused.
My lord, where did you find these?
Some hidden cubby in the cobalt warren. Why?
These coins are ancient, several thousand years old. The story is that once the kobolds were not just the scavenging predators that they are today, they had a massive underground empire which had formal trade ties with other kingdoms. Their currency was said to be the standard used throughout the River Peninsula. It was made from silver of the greatest purity.
Richter nodded, definitely interested in the local history lesson, but what he really wanted to know was, so how much is each coin worth?
If you merely re-smelted each coin, you would get 6 common silvers from each. What I would recommend, however, is waiting until you can sell them in Eve or another civilized kingdom. Any of these coins will sell for at least a gold coin, but some might be worth far more. The golden age of kobolds was said to last approximately 1,000 years. In that millennium, there were 25 dark khans who presided over the Trinar Empire. If you look at the various coins, each is minted with the face of the first ruler of the empire on one side and the emblem of the empire on the other. A small percentage of the coins, however, have the likeness of one of the dark khans in place of the emblem. Any coin collector would pay at least 100 gold for any coin with the likeness of a dark khan. For the rarer of the dark khan coins, the price starts at 1,000 gold. I actually have a small collection myself. How many of these do you have, my lord?
Richter's smile broadened significantly. He handed over more handfuls of the octagonal silvers. Randolphus's normally professional reserve cracked, and he excitedly took a large sack and collected all of the cobalt coins. Once Richter had no more left to give, the Chamberlain immediately left the vault and returned to his office, eager to pore over the relics. Richter shook his head and shouted after him, "Oh, don't worry! I can do the rest on my own!"
"Yes, my lord,"
came a distant reply. Richter shook his head again and then picked up an empty pouch. He filled it with 500 gold and then moved on to the next. He filled several more bags, stacking each one on the shelves. He left himself with about 200 gold in his own bag of holding. He didn't know what he'd be spending it on, but he figured to use condom wisdom. Better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. Then he started stacking all of the jewelry on a different shelf. He decided to keep several pieces from the Tefonim vault in his bag in the end, though. None were enchanted, but he hoped that he could use the pieces to trade with Hafiz's sons. After that, he carefully removed the large alchemical jugs that he had filled with the waters of clarity. Each jug held hundreds of doses, and he had 18 in total. Every jug was placed carefully on the shelves. If any spilled, it would literally be pouring hundreds of gold down the drain. When he was finally done, he walked to the middle of the room and looked at the growing wealth of his people. Richter chuckled slightly in greedy pleasure and then walked out of the room. A faint boom echoed as the treasury door closed itself, and he heard the sound of the door's many bolts sliding into place. He walked over to Randolphus's office and saw the Chamberlain poring over the silver coins. The Chamberlain was bent over his desk, examining each silver with a furious concentration. A growing pile of silver coins was over to one side, apparently having already been ruled out, but 7 coins were laid out singly in front of him. He kept reaching into the sack, pulling out another silver, examining it quickly, then placing it to the side. As Richter watched, though, the Chamberlain examined one, exclaimed delightedly, and placed it next to the other 7 that had been set aside. "Found something interesting?" Richter asked.
"My lord, this is miraculous. This coin is the 22nd Khan, Khan Padir, and this one, this coin shows the 17th Khan, Khan Nol. It is rumored that the King of Eve has these 2 coins, but you'll not find them anywhere else in the kingdom.
The fact that you have these, not to mention the other dark cons that I have already found, is amazing.
Randolphus went back to feverishly searching through the sack. Richter smiled to see the usually stately and mature man acting with such childish enthusiasm. He walked over and picked up one of the coins his chamberlain had set aside. A prompt immediately filled his vision. You have been offered a quest. Reunite the Dark Khans. 25 rulers of darkness and might. 1,000 years of rule out of sight. What once was here shall rise again. Reunite the Dark Khans when you wish to begin. Will you find and reunite the visages of all 25 Dark Khans? Yes or no? Reward, the power of a Khan. You have found one of 25 coins.
Richter blinked away the notification. He looked at Randolphus in surprise. I just got a quest when I touched the coin.
Yes,
Randolphus said distractedly without looking up. The quest to reunite the Dark Khans. He spoke as if he were discussing common knowledge.
So you mean everyone who touches one of these coins gets this quest?
Randolphus looked up. Yes, my lord. Did I not mention that while we were in the treasury?
No, you didn't, Randy.
Well, what is the power of a Khan?
No one knows, my lord. Some have thought it will unlock a mighty treasure. Others believe it will allow you to control a kobold army. One theory states it will teach one of their lost secrets, how to construct an onyx golem, a black highway, or possibly even planar magic.
Questions were swirling around Richter's head, and they multiplied with every word that his chamberlain said. I thought they were just coins.
So no one has ever completed this quest?
If they have, it has not become publicly known, my lord.
Why would getting some coins together do anything? Richter asked.
He looked at the coin in his hand a bit more closely, but it just seemed like a simple silver disc.
I do not have a complete answer for you, my lord, but I do know that coins with the likeness of a Dark Khan emit a tiny amount of magic. This has been clearly proven by magical scholars. It is said that the coins were given as marks of favor during the reign of each Khan. The leading theory is that the Khans were keepers of a secret that they encoded into the coins. They form a key of sorts. Each Khan added to the magic.
So, for the first Khan, you only needed one coin? Richter asked. That makes no sense.
That is the biggest hole in that theory, my lord. It is thought that the enchantment was started during the reign of the 11th Dark Khan, which was the very height of the Trainar Empire, and the first 10 coins were enchanted retroactively. No one knows for sure, however. That's why it's only a theory, my lord.
Richter nodded. He really would need to get his hands on some history books if he wanted to be an effective leader. The land was violent and contentious. He would be a fool to ignore centuries and millennia of tradition. He said as much to Randolphus, stating that history books would have to be added to the list of items to trade for. It was the first time that Richter saw his chamberlain hesitate to add to his endless list of notes. The man did break away from the coins long enough to jot down his liege's order, albeit reluctantly.
Okay, Randy. I'll leave you to the coins, but is everything on track for tonight?
Yes, my lord. The feast is being prepared. The hunters have been able to bring in some good animals. A cow and a pig have also been slaughtered and are being prepared to your specifications.
Richter gave a delighted he-he-he and rubbed his palms together.
Unless there is anything else, my lord?
Randolphus asked. His eyebrows were slightly raised and his hands were on the coins.
Is Randy getting a bit snippy with me?
Richter asked himself with no small amount of humor. He decided not to make a point of it. A good ruler is magnanimous and forgiving, after all.
Okay, I can see that searching through these coins is important to you. Why don't I help out? It'll go faster.
Not waiting for a reply, he pulled up a chair and started searching through the coins himself. It might have occurred to Richter that leaving the room meant potentially leaving his chamberlain alone with objects of great power. A good ruler may be magnanimous, but a wise ruler never gave someone a gun and just hoped he wouldn't be shot in the back.
Chapter 3, Day 102, Kuralt 21, 15,368 EBG.
Richter and Randolphus went through the coins in about 30 minutes. The coins with a picture of a Dark Khan were easy to distinguish. Whenever Richter touched a new one, he would receive an updated quest prompt showing that the number of coins he had found had increased by one. When all was said and done, he had found 17 of the 25. Many of the Dark Khan coins even had duplicates. "This is amazing, my lord. You may have a greater collection than the king. I know for a fact that no one has been able to find the coins for Khans 2 and 7 for hundreds of years." "Good. So I'm thinking that if I show some of these coins during my negotiations with Hafiz's sons, none of the extremely rare coins, mind you, but some of them, it will greatly increase my bargaining power."
"It would indeed, my lord."
"Which coins do you have in your collection?" Richter asked.
"Only Khans 14, 16, and 20, my lord,"
Randolphus said, looking at the coins with true appreciation. "And 15, Richter said. He picked up one of the duplicates and handed it to his chamberlain.
"My lord, I cannot take this. This coin would be worth hundreds of gold."
"Randolphus," Richter said softly but firmly, "you are worth much more to me than gold. You have kept this village running while I have had to leave multiple times. I cannot promise that I will not have to leave in the future, but I will make more of an effort to be present. Right now, though, you will accept this small token of my appreciation." Randolphus thanked him with a bow of his head and accepted the coin. "Now, point out the 5 most common Dark Khan coins that we have duplicates of. I may trade those to Hafiz's sons along with the regular cobalt silvers. I will put the rest of the coins back into the vault. Please have Roswan place a podium at the end of the feast area. All of the tables should be laid in front of it, so everyone has a clear line of sight of me when I'm up there. I want all of the new potential villagers brought to the tables."
"They will not be able to see through the mists, my lord,"
Randolphus reminded him. "Only for a short time. I plan to make a central clearing in the mists again. These new people will not be given immunity to the mists until they have been both interrogated by Sumiko using the questions you devise and until they have lived with us for a short while.
And when you clear the mists and restore their sight, it will be good for them to witness the power of their new lord,"
Randolphus said with a slight smile. "The thought did occur to me," Richter said with a cocky grin of his own.
"It will be done, my lord."
Richter gave a nod and then scooped up the coins. He placed the regular ones into his bag as well as the duplicates Randolphus had pointed out. He made another short jaunt to the treasury to deposit the rest of the silver and then walked outside.
"Where are you, love?"
he called out mentally once he was looking out over the village. Many of his villagers were working to prepare for the evening meal, dragging tables into position, lighting candles and torches, placing jugs of water down beside cups. One of the villagers had even brought out a fiddle. A jaunty tune filled the air, bringing a smile to everyone's faces. A small shriek sounded above him as Alma zoomed by his head only an inch away from flying into him. He ducked involuntarily with a curse and looked up to see her doing a loop in the air while she trumpeted the success of her joke. He laughed in spite of himself. "Get down here, you little beastie." Alma flew high and then did a tight corkscrew spiral downward before leveling out. His familiar was clearly in good spirits. A few seconds later, she had alighted upon his shoulders, her tail wrapped around his arm for balance. Richter reached behind him and poked her full belly. "I guess you've been having fun eating, huh?" She blew a gust of air into his ear, but it was half-hearted. She immediately settled back down and purred contentedly. Richter smiled and walked down the slope to say hello to some of his people. First, he walked over to an area where he had seen some men training. Futin floated up silently beside him and kept pace with his lord. When he got closer to the impromptu training yard, Tirad hailed him.
"Welcome to training, my lord."
The members of the militia had been paired off and were sparring with what looked to be blunted weapons. To Richter, it seemed like there was just a good amount of flailing around, except for one pair where one of the men was on the ground and his partner was just mercilessly pummeling him. Richter wasn't sure, but he was fairly certain those two were married. "Tirad?" Richter greeted him. "Should we be concerned about that?" he asked, indicating the man who was now just aiming some defensive kicks at his wife from the ground. It wasn't working very well. Tirad looked at them and said,
"Ah, in a minute.
Apparently Harn has been a bit too friendly with some of the other female villagers. I figure this is healthy. Besides, my sergeant will stop it in a moment, I'm sure."
"Sergeant?" Richter asked. Tirad just smiled and pointed. Richter looked where the captain indicated and saw an old familiar face. Calder.
That's a sword, not your cock! Don't play with it so damn much!
Calder yelled at one of the guards. He took the blunted weapon from the man and showed him the proper grip. The guard took the rebuke well, and when Calder handed the weapon back, the sparring began again.
Calder!
Richter yelled out with a laughing tone.
Get over here!
The man jogged up.
Well, it's nice to see you again, my lord. You seem to have filled out a bit since last we met.
Richter looked down at himself. The points he had added to strength and constitution had definitely changed his body stature. He was bulkier, and though he couldn't be sure, he was pretty sure he was at least an inch taller than when he had first gotten to the land. If the appraising glances he saw some of the villagers giving him were any indication, his face might very well have become comelier as well, most likely because of his increased charisma.
I've been through quite a bit since we have seen each other, Richter agreed. So what do you think of our militia?
Do you mean this group of invalids behind me?
Calder asked, hiking a thumb behind him.
I'm just surprised more of them aren't shoving their weapons up their own bungholes.
Do you not think that is a bit harsh?
Tirad asked. Calder's voice lost all of its joviality.
It's not harsh enough, Captain. These boys and girls will be taken apart by any gang I ever ran across when I was a god in law. From what I've heard, the animals and monsters around here could be just as dangerous, if not more so. They need training, and plenty of it.
What do you have in mind? Richter asked. Sword forms?
Ha! That might be good for lords like yourself, but for guards and soldiers, they just need to be the toughest sons of bitches around. We will get into the technical bits of fighting sometime soon, but for now, they just need to start training. Every morning we will be doing runs and exercises. If you leave them in my hands, their strength, endurance, and constitution will rise. I can promise you that.
Richter was impressed, but was also surprised by the fervor he heard coming from the man. His impression of Calder had always been that the guard was lackadaisical and relatively harmless. Not wanting to beat around the bush, Richter decided to express that. It all sounds good to me, Calder. I think we all need to get tougher, but I'm surprised to hear you speaking with such passion and determination. Calder gave a knowing grin.
I know how I came across when we met in Leaf's Crossing, but that was almost a retirement. The worst I ever had to deal with there was to drag a drunk to jail to sleep it off for the night. I didn't get to level 13 by drinking ale, though. I spent more than a decade in the King's army, and I fought my share of bandits, goblins, and even the occasional wild troll.
Richter quickly analyzed the guard and was surprised that he was right. Name, Calder. Human, level 13. Health, 310. Mana, 110. Stamina, 300. Disposition, pleased. Humans are one of the shortest-lived but most prolific breeders in the land. Humans have a broader affinity for skills than other races. No special bonuses to race. Humans get 4 points to distribute per level. Richter spoke up again. I'm assuming you plan to include the guards that came with you in these daily exercises? If Tirad says you're to be his sergeant, then that's good enough for me. But I insist that everyone must be treated the same. I have no interest in breeding divisiveness among my guards.
Half of those that came with me are no better than what I see here. Don't worry, Lord Richter. My father taught me a simple truth long ago. If someone has their head up their arse, you're doing them a favor if you're giving them an arse beating. With luck, it just might be dislodged, and then they might finally see the light. My pa wasn't one to discriminate in helping people.
Richter laughed. That sounded good enough to him. He didn't forget that he had a captain of the guard now, though. Turning to Tirad, he asked, Does the sergeant's plan work for you?
It does indeed, my lord, Tirad said with a smile.
Carry on, then. I might actually join you for some of these morning calisthenics. Both men looked at him in mild confusion. Never mind. I'll run with you tomorrow morning. Just make sure that someone comes to get me. Now, unless there's anything else? Richter was already turning away when Tirad spoke up.
Actually, my lord, there are 2 things I would like to discuss.
Richter nodded. Go ahead.
If I'm going to train my people effectively, then they need their own space. Each member of the militia will work a string of days, and I've seen that they need to be kept separate from distractions. This includes family and friends. If you want them to be an effective force as soon as possible, then we need to have a formal area to train.
As soon as Tirad stopped speaking, a prompt appeared in Richter's vision.
You have been offered a quest. Strengthen your tribe, 1. Your fledgling military needs a building to train effectively. Will you build them a barracks? Reward. Societal bonus from building a barracks. Yes or no?
What societal bonus? These prompts could be so damn frustrating, Richter thought.
Well, it's not like he wasn't already going to build a barracks. Maybe he would just make it more of a priority now.
I'll talk to Roswan about it, Richter said. Do you have a spot picked out?
On the hillock that's on the other end of the village from the longhouses, my lord. It's not much, but it should give some small amount of seclusion.
Richter nodded. It would also put his militia nearer the armory. They would be able to quickly equip themselves if the need should arise. Okay, so what's the other thing?
You know that we've been seeing monsters and dangerous animals closer to the village lately. I was going to take a group out and do some hunting. If we leave in 2 hours, we can hunt for a good while and still be back before the feast.
You have been offered a quest. Hunt the Hunters 1. The lands around your village are becoming more dangerous. Your captain wants to proactively deal with these threats. Will you seek out and vanquish 5 solitary monsters or groups of dangerous creatures? Yes or no? Reward, increased safety of your people. Village-wide loyalty will increase by +10.
I like it, Richter said with a smile. He selected yes. He had been doing a lot of running away lately, first from the rock giant and later from a small army of kobolds. It would be good to do some hunting of his own.
I still want everyone to stay within the mists, though, he said warningly.
Absolutely, my lord. I have spoken sternly to the group that you saved. Also, Hurid's death has hit a lot of the militia hard. He was well-liked. No one plans on leaving the mists anytime soon. Besides, there is more than enough danger to be found within the bounds of the enchantment.
Good, Richter said, mollified. Who did you plan to bring? Tirad began ticking off fingers.
Myself, Sergeant Calder, and your lordship. I was thinking of bringing 2 of the casters to finish the group of 5. I hadn't chosen which ones yet.
Hold off on one of the casters. I have a better idea. Send one of your guards to fetch Bayon the alchemist. Bring him forcefully if you have to, but not too forcefully. Find him some light armor and a crossbow. He will be our 5th.
As you say, my lord, Tirad said hesitantly. May I ask why, however?
Richter nodded. We need to level him up. If he can become a professed alchemist, that will be good for the village. Also, I just want to see what the man is made of. Something doesn't exactly add up about him. His tone became speculative as he considered the enigma of the abrasive gnome and his strangely large mana pool. Tirad nodded and said that it would be done. He told Richter that he would be waiting at the city gates in 2 hours' time. Calder had already left them to deal with the woman who'd been beating her husband. The poor fellow was already unconscious, but she was still kicking him. Calder dragged her away. Richter ordered Futin to tell him when 1.5 hours had passed. Then he went on to his next stop. Alma remained sleeping on his shoulders. Richter wanted to know more about the monsters that had been seen near the village. He figured that talking to his hunters would be the best place to start. He walked through the center of the town, pleased by the savory smells. The feast should be amazing. Richter couldn't wait to try the special snack he had asked for. He grinned. Even Alma woke up at the appetizing smells, but she apparently decided that sleep was more important. The dragonling just tightened her tail around his arm and snuggled down a bit more into the soft folds of his cloak. Richter crossed the village, aiming for the section of the wall where the hunters cleaned their kills. It was far off to the east side because of the inevitable smells. Before he got there, though, he saw a knot of his villagers. He also heard cursing.
The damn things keep getting inside!
Richter heard another round of diffuse muttering before he made it to the group of people. What's going on here? He asked. The villagers, seeing that their lord was present, parted. Once he was at the center of the group, a dwarf spoke up.
Your lordship, we have a problem.
The dwarf was clearly agitated and Richter started to get concerned. What is it?
Rats!
The dwarf said. He shoved his hand towards Richter's face, holding a very large and very dead rodent in his fingers. Its teeth were huge, and its front paws were overly pronounced.
Gah!
Richter said. Get that out of my face!
What is it? It be a damn burrow rat. Sorry, my lord, but this thing shouldn't be here. You usually only see them deep underground, but for some reason they're up here on the surface.
Okay, so we have a pest problem. Let's just build a granary or some place with rock walls. It will take a bit, but I'll talk to Roswan.
These are burrower rats, Lord Richter. They can eat through solid stone, and the damn things can smell food through 10 feet of solid rock. We need a specialized repel vermin charm that we can place near the food.
Abrams and Whedon, if it wasn't one thing, it was another.
Well, how do we get one of those?
Richter asked, somewhat exasperated. The dwarf looked irritated as well.
That be the problem, your lordship. Back in Eve, I know where you could buy this type of item. If I was back home in the mountains, I could go to one of the crafters there. I asked around to most of the crafters in the village, though, and no one here knows how to do it. A few know how to make a basic repel vermin charm, but no one has any experience with these damn things,
he said, shaking the rat again.
I don't think it's all that complicated, but you still need to know the knack.
So I have to send a trade delegation back to Eve and just hope that we can find one? How much food are these things eating? Richter asked.
They have already spoiled 2 crates of food, which is about 5% of our stores. We are killing them when we see them, but more keep coming. At this rate, we're going to lose another crate every 2 to 3 days, and I expect it to get worse. Burrower rats always attract more of their own kind. They are no danger to us directly, outside of maybe getting bitten if you grab one.
Okay, this could be a real problem, Richter realized. If he ignored this, in a few months' time his people could be starving. He could send a delegation back to Eve, but best-case scenario was they could find what they needed in Leaf's Crossing. That still meant a little over a week before they could get back. If they had to go all the way to the capital, it would take several weeks, which meant even more of their food would be gone. That wasn't even counting the expense of sending a ship just to get the item. He doubted there would be time to conduct any proper trading if the crew was rushing back to deliver this one item.
Are you sure there was no one in the village that can figure it out? Richter asked.
The dwarf looked thoughtful.
Well, those arcane gnomes are pretty good at coming up with stuff. If you bring them a burrower rat, maybe they could figure something out.
You have been offered a quest, Splat the Rat. A type of rare vermin is eating your food stores. They are not susceptible to standard repel vermin charms. Speak to one of the arcane gnomes to see if they can help with this problem. Yes or no. Reward, solving the problem of the rats and increased loyalty. Penalty for failure, ongoing loss of your people's food.
Another quest from one of his villagers? What was going on here? There had never really been any rhyme or reason to when he had gotten quests in the past, but this seemed a bit strange.
Richter accepted the quest anyway. There didn't really seem to be another option. He had to address this issue.
I'll take care of it, he said. He told Futin to mention the problem to Randolphus. Then he realized that the Chamberlain might be able to help with all of the quests, so he told the Remnant to pass along any others he might get.
Where can I find them?
Them flighty bastards roam all over the damn place. They're always examining this or that. They almost never miss a meal, though, so you can probably find them at the feast tonight.
Richter thanked him and took the body of the dead burrower rat and put it in his bag of holding. The anti-entropic effects of the bag should keep it from degrading for at least a day or two. He was turning away when the dwarf added one last thing.
Even if you can find an item that repels the burrower rats, we still don't have enough space to store everything efficiently. Many of the shacks we are using for storage are packed full, and it's causing some of the food to spoil early. We need a storage shed.
You have been offered a quest, Waste Not, Want Not. Your people need a central location with more space allocated for storage. Your goods are decaying.
If you wish to reduce this, you must build a storage shed. Will you? Yes or no? Reward, societal bonus of storage shed. Reward, 5% increased productivity from having goods in a central location. Something weird was definitely afoot. Richter told the dwarf that he would get on it and accepted the quest. Before he could continue on his way, yet another notification appeared. Know this, you have unlocked a new field of study, enchantments. Richter had no idea exactly how this whole scientific research thing was going to work, but he knew that he would have to figure it out. According to his village interface, he needed to build a scholar's hut before any research could take place. Just item number 394 on his to-do list. He dismissed the prompt and resumed walking. Thankfully, he was able to make it over to his hunters without any more demanding villagers giving him quests. The hunters greeted him as he walked up. The smell of blood was in the air as two of the hunters were skinning a large boar. One of them laughed and cut free a bloody piece of haunch.
So you brought back our little hunter, my lord. She already ate her weight in deer not 3 hours ago.
The hunter tossed the piece of raw meat onto a nearby rock. Alma had picked her head up in response to the smells in the air. With a raucous cry, she launched herself at the rock. She took the hunter's offering with an air of extreme satisfaction. So, you think you're a little princess, huh?
No, master.
She paused for a moment.
I am a queen.
Richter laughed and then raised his voice to address all of the hunters present. I have heard that the lands around the village are getting more dangerous. What can you tell me about it?
You have the right of it, my lord, one hunter said grimly. There have indeed been more dangerous animal sightings. I myself have seen some cave bears standing 8 feet at the shoulder, and that forest boar that is skinning over there was the smallest one in the sounder. Some of the other hunters have seen giant scorpions, screech worms, pucker bats, dire spiders and other man-eaters. We have also seen some monsters. Green ooze was seen south of the village. One of the hunters said he saw a river scath to the east. One of the other hunters reported hearing a harpy's screech echoing out of the mountains to the north. He didn't actually see one of the foul creatures, though, thank the banished.
Richter nodded. He had known that his lands were getting more dangerous, but he had no idea that it was this bad. Even if Tirad hadn't asked him to go hunting later, he most likely would have organized a party of his own anyway. His job was to protect his people, and despite the fact that he was new to the land, he was probably one of the strongest fighters in the village, now that Yoshi wasn't here. Is there anything else you can tell me? He asked the hunter. The man looked uncomfortable. He mulled over something internally for several long moments, but ultimately came to a decision.
I can't tell you that we are starting to feel unsafe, my lord. Hunters always accept that there is a risk of running into something dangerous out in the wild, but lately these monsters are more than we are equipped to handle. Is there anything that you can do to help?
You have been offered a quest, Hunters or Hunted 1. Your hunters consistently go beyond the safety of the village walls. Because of your actions in unlocking the second power of the Mist Village, they are facing more powerful enemies. They are asking for your help. The form of that help will be left entirely up to you. Will you help? Yes or no? Reward, variable. Penalty, ignoring or failing this quest will cause a drop in the morale and loyalty of your hunters. Richter accepted the quest and told the hunters he would help. They all looked relieved. The hunter who had spoken bobbed his head repeatedly while thanking Richter over and over. That, as much as anything else, convinced Richter that his lands had become unsafe. After a moment's consideration, he had all of the hunters stop what they were doing. He told them that until further notice, they were not to go beyond the walls of the village. A few immediately protested, but he assured them that this new policy would be short-lived. He also let them know that the break in their routine would be so that they could be better equipped. That quieted any complainers. He thanked his hunters for their hard work and then started walking to the forge. It was time to see what Crom had been up to in the Forge of Heavens. As he walked, Richter turned to the floating gray orb by his side. Futin, I need you to find Sion. When you do, bring him to meet me.
As you command, my lord, was Futin's monotone reply.
The remnant sped off in front of Richter, searching for the sprite. Richter kept walking, somewhat lost in thought. Why was he getting all of these quests? It was possible that something had happened that he didn't know about, and the village was responding somehow. He also supposed that the influx of new villagers had triggered something. Richter had a sinking feeling that he knew why all of these quests were coming one after another, though. It was because he had been an absentee landlord. After the bugbear attack, he had immediately left to unlock his life power. He had been gone for weeks. After that, he had been back for less than a day before that bitch assassin had killed him. His resurrection had taken at least a day, and then he had rushed off again. Admittedly, he had needed to save Tarad, but if he was being honest, vengeance had spurred him forward as much as justice. Even though he had succeeded in rescuing his companion, he had been gone for more than a week again. Put simply, he hadn't spent any meaningful time in his own village for over a month. Maybe it wasn't that he was suddenly earning a bunch of quests. Maybe it was just that he was finally around, and the quests had been waiting on him. Richter was brought from his internal thoughts by the sound of metal clanging on metal. He had arrived before the Forge of Heavens. The black roof showed the celestial bodies above, despite the sun still being rather high in the sky. The many crystal columns gleamed dully in the sunlight. Though the marbled quartz that comprised them was mostly opaque, each column glowed, adding some faint illumination to the inside of the forge. Not that this was needed, of course, with the brightly glowing fires within. Some dwarves worked the bellows, while others crushed raw ore to feed the smelter. One was working on a half-finished piece of chainmail armor, using a small set of pliers to interlink the rings. Richter got a mild surprise when he saw humans in the forge. Near the back, sitting on simple wooden stools, were a human man and woman, close enough in appearance that they had to be brother and sister. Both were brunette and heavily muscled, and they talked quietly while sewing together pieces of leather. What really drew Richter's gaze, however, were the dwarves working on the anvils. Two dwarves swung hammers on the smaller forges. Both seemed to be working on axes. On the central forge, however, was the village's smith. Crom worked on his project with single-minded focus. Clang, cling, cling, clang, cling, cling. Each heavy blow that the dwarf rained down on the hot metal he was forging was followed by two light taps, one on the hot metal and another on the forge. Then the cycle would start again. Richter just stood back and watched. 5 minutes passed by, and then 10, but still Crom kept up the same rhythm. Richter marveled at the dwarf's strength and endurance. Finally, the metal lost its heat, and the metal darkened to a dusky gray color. Crom placed it back in the hearth to heat it again. Richter walked up to his smith. Crom, the dwarf looked over with a smile on his bearded face.
Greetings, your lordship. Did you have a nice little nap?
Richter laughed at the audacious dwarf. What's that you're making there? Somehow that gray metal makes me think that it's not my elementum short sword.
Alas, no, my lord. This be a sword for the new captain. I be using one of the cobalt ingots you brought back. It looks to be coming out well so far.
Oh, Richter said. He tried to keep any disappointment out of his voice, but some bled through. If you can get to my sword soon, it would be appreciated. I agree that Tarad should have a good weapon, though. Crom scratched his beard and looked up speculatively.
Well, I could start on a sword for ye, or ye could just use the one I've already made.
Richter tried to keep a smile off his face, but failed miserably again. Crom laughed and waved for his lord to follow him. He called out to one of the other dwarves to tend the half-finished blade he was heating. Richter followed his smith over to a rack of finished weapons. Spears, swords, maces, and daggers hung on the long rack made of quartz. Is it just me, or are there more stands here than before? Richter asked.
You're not crazy, your lordship. The forge just seems to know what we need. When we ran out of space, the racks just appeared.
Richter looked around at the forge again.
The stars shined against the black roof, and the sun could be seen near the western edge only a few hours from setting. This thing truly was a legendary object. He turned his attention back to the weapons, examining each in turn. Richter was pleased but not surprised that each item he examined was above average quality or better. He even noticed a few superb and exquisite quality weapons. He stopped looking over them when Crom took down a short sword and handed it to him. The sheath was made of soft-looking gray leather. The crossguard was a thick bar that curved up towards the blade slightly at either end. The hilt was wrapped in the same leather, and the pommel was a weighted ball of clear green metal. Richter's smile widened even further.
"Now I don't want you trying to give me a kiss when you see the blade, your lordship."
Richter laughed and said he would try to restrain himself. He unsheathed the weapon and examined it. "You have been given Elementum Short Sword of Freezing. Damage, 41 to 46. Durability, 158 of 158. Item class, scarce. Quality, exquisite. Weight, 2.3 kilograms. Traits, plus 3 to 4 points of water damage per attack, 4% chance to cause freeze, plus 10% damage versus spell barriers. Charges, 220 of 220. Bonus trait, plus 10% damage against earth and dark creatures." Richter's mouth dropped open in shock. He looked at Crom and then back at his new weapon, and then back at Crom again. "How did you do this?" Richter had awe in his voice. His high steel longsword only had a damage potential of 12 to 17. And how did it have all of those other enchantments? Crom cracked his neck and began speaking in the affectionate tone he reserved for discussing his craft.
"Well, your lordship, short swords normally have a base damage of 8 to 10, and the metal..."
The dwarf laughed.
"Well, let me just say that Elementum be a tough son of a bitch. Even I didn't know how much power the metal would add, but the base damage increased by plus 9. The rest, though, is due to my skill and the strength of me arm. I'm a level 62 smith, and the bonus from me skill increased the base damage and the bonus from the metal by that much. Finally, the exquisite quality of the weapon increases the damage by another 50%. That be why your new blade could carve the heart out of a stone dragon."
The smith took a sip of water, then continued.
"Dinna get me wrong. It wasna easy. We had to stoke the fires to be hotter than me arsehole in summer. As you can see, though, your lordship, it be well worth the effort. I was a bit concerned, seeing as how me smith rank is lower than it should be to work with that type of metal, but it still turned out good."
Richter agreed as he ran his eyes over the flawless blade. It was a gorgeous weapon. Richter could barely tear his gaze from it, but he was confused by something Crom had said.
"What do you mean? What does your skill rank have to do with anything?"
"You know that I be a journeyman smith, your lordship. That means several things, but one of them is I can bend and poke any metal up to ebony like it were me second wife."
"Not your first wife?" Richter asked with a smile.
"No, your lordship. She was so tight that if I had put a copper between her knees, it wouldn't have hit the floor for years. But that'd not be the point right now. To work Elementum without penalty, I would have to be an adept. Seeing as how I be a rank short, it shows in me work."
Richter struggled to keep a straight face and asked, "Exactly how does it affect the weapons you make?" Crom scratched his beard and asked,
"Are you sure you wish to know this? It be a bit technical."
After Richter nodded, he continued,
"I will need to tell you something else about smith ranks first, then, me lord. For each rank, there be a specific chance to make a weapon or armor of a certain quality every time I swing me hammer. The higher me skill level, the more likely for me to make a higher quality item. Do you understand?"
Richter nodded again. Every skill seemed to have 6 ranks: novice, initiate, apprentice, journeyman, adept, and master. Raising your skill level also let you ascend to higher ranks. After seeing that his liege was following so far, Crom grabbed a piece of hide and a charcoal stick. He started making lines on the pale leather and writing words to either side of each line. Trash, poor, average, above average, well-crafted, exceptional, superb, exquisite, masterwork. Then he drew a curve over the lines, and Richter almost dropped the sword in shock.